Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the HEG Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by SKP Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Navin Agarwal, Head Institutional Equities at SKP Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's my pleasure to welcome you on behalf of HEG Limited and SKP Securities to this financial results conference call. We have with us Mr. Manish Gulati, Executive Director, along with Mr. Gulshan Kumar Sakhuja, CFO. We'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Gulati, followed by a Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Manish ji.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to our Q1 FY22-23 con call. Let me start with a disclaimer first. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to take this opportunity to remind everyone about the disclaimer related to this call. Today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature based on management's current belief and expectations. It must be viewed in conjunction with the risks that our business faces that could cause future results, performance, or achievements to differ significantly from what may be expressed in such forward-looking statements. Friends, in comparison with the last few quarters' results, its performance this quarter was the strongest in terms of all parameters, volume, revenue, EBITDA, and operating margins. Coming to steel, as per the recent data released by World Steel Association, global crude steel production for January to June 2022 was 949.9 million metric tons, down by 5.5% compared to 2021. Steel production ex-China was down by 4.2%, while Indian steel production increased by 8.8% compared to 2021. Chinese steel exports seem to be proceeding at the same level as past year, 2021. In China, EAF steel still constitutes around 11%-12% of their steel production, up almost double of in 2016, and is expected to be 20% by 2025. This has to be seen in the backdrop where rest of the world produces around 47% of its steel through EAF. Due to Russia-Ukraine crisis causing steep rise in energy and electricity prices in EU and some other countries, supply chain disruptions, and subdued steel demand, global steel output has recently begun to fall. With steel production declining year-on-year in all major steel-producing regions and inflated input costs impacting margins, the outlook for the rest of the year remains unclear. We have been participating in steel conferences in U.S. for last several years, and we have seen increasing focus and serious efforts towards decarbonization in U.S. Steel industry contributes almost 8% of industrial pollution, and blast furnace BOF route emits four times more greenhouse gases compared to EAF. Almost 20 million metric tons of EAF capacities are already announced and under construction in U.S., some of which will start coming on stream from end 2022 onwards. Besides U.S., in Europe, there have been announcements of conversion of steel capacities to the tune of 15 million-16 million metric tons from blast furnace route to EAF route. In the backdrop of decarbonization efforts in the steel industry at global level to reduce carbon emissions, we believe that the EAF steel production in the world will continue to grow as the world keeps adding more and more electric arc furnaces in the immediate and foreseeable future. Thus, the demand for high-quality electrodes is likely to keep increasing. Most of these would be large-sized furnaces using ultra-high power grade electrodes, which we are fully equipped to cater to. The electrode prices improved for both UHP and non-UHP grades in Q1 FY22-23. However, the electrode prices have now stabilized and so have the needle coke prices. The sales volumes might face some pressure in July to September and October to December quarter due to order pushbacks from some customers due to decline in steel production. We are upbeat that as soon as the steel production starts to grow, the demand for electrodes will come back, particularly when we see that electric arc furnace production will grow much faster. Our expansion to increase capacity from 80,000 tons to 100,000 tons is going on with full steam, and we are confident of completing it by end 2022 and be ready with commercial production from early 2023. This will increase our capacity to 100,000 tons under one roof, making us one of the most cost-competitive graphite electrode plants in the world. I would now hand over the floor to Mr. Gulshan Sakhuja, our CFO, to take you through all the financial numbers, and then together we'll be very happy to answer any queries that you have. Over to Mr. Sakhuja.
Thank you, Manish. Good afternoon, friends. I will now briefly take you through the company's operating and financial performance for the quarter ended 30th June 2022. For the quarter ended June 2022, HEG recorded revenue from operations of rupees 722 crores as against rupees 673 crore in the previous quarter and rupees 414 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year. Revenue for the quarter saw an increase of 7% as compared to the previous quarter, while it witnessed an increase of 75% on a Q&Q basis. Since turnover is a factor of both volume and prices, we are happy to inform you that the company has been able to achieve healthy growth in both aspects. During the quarter ended 30th June 2022, the company has delivered EBITDA including other income of rupees 205 crores as against rupees 174 crores in the previous quarter and rupees 94 crores in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year. The EBITDA for the quarter ended 30th June has increased vis-a-vis previous quarter and corresponding quarter of the previous year due to an increase in both the sales quantity and price realization of graphite electrodes. The increase in employee benefit expenses over the previous quarter and corresponding quarter of the previous year is on account of annual increment in salaries, incentive to employees, and provisioning for the profit-related commission payable to CMD and ED of the company under contractual terms of their appointment. The increase in expenses pertaining to power and fuel is on account of higher production and the increase in the price of LNG, furnace oil, etc. The reason for the increase in finance cost is on account of two factors. First, the RBI has revised the interest subvention from 3% to 2%. Second, there is an increase in the working capital requirement on account of increased sales and production, which has led to the higher utilization of our working capital limits. Further, the fall in other expenses as compared to previous quarter is because the company has incurred expenditure on account of CSR amounting to rupees 19 crore during the quarter ended 31st March 2022. The corresponding amount for the quarter for the current quarter is 0.61 crores. The company recorded a net profit after tax of rupees 134 crore in the first quarter of FY23 as against 113 crore in the previous quarter and 55.8 crore in the corresponding quarter of the previous financial year. I would also like to inform you that India Rating and Research has affirmed our long-term rating at AA- with a stable outlook and a short-term at A1+. Expansion plan from 80K to 100K is going on a full swing, and we expect the expansion project will be completed by December 2022 and ready with a commercial production by early 2023. The company is a long-term debt-free and has a treasury size of approximately 1150 crore at cost as on 30th June 2022, yielding an average return of approximately 6% per annum. Now we would now like to address any questions, queries you have in your mind. Thank you, friends. Over to Naveen.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Dhaval Doshi from Pinpoint Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, just wanted your views on the near-term demand and supply scenario for the industry. So if you look at the cost structures in the global markets, which is US and Europe, the costs have gone up significantly higher. Can we see some supply disruption arising out of it, the way we've started seeing in other commodities like aluminum and zinc? Can we see some plant closures just because the costs are not sustainable?
So, Dhaval, to answer your question is, that yes, in Europe, the impact of higher electricity cost is felt the most. And today, all these electric arc furnace-based steel companies are running at off-peak hours, because of which the production is slow. And we can feel it because we have been receiving several requests to push back our orders. There is no such problem in U.S. as such. This is something which is unique only to the European bloc. For them, the electricity costs have gone up 3 times or 4 times. Some of the steel companies do have contracts with the utilities in which 50, 60, 70% of their power is covered. See, we don't, I mean, since this is not going to be something forever, and it's of course, there has to be timelines to that, because not only steel industry, all industry in Europe is suffering on account of electricity cost. So if you ask me, there's no closure. I've not heard of it that any electrode plant to close or something because on this account. However, their costs have definitely gone up. Our peer group, I mean, who operate plants in Europe, costs must have certainly gone up, even if they are hedged for some portion of their electricity with the utility providers.
Okay, so. But does that kind of help us in terms of the overall electrode pricing, sir? Because either through supply tightness or through costs, essentially the prices has to start moving up, right?
Yeah, that's true. See, the European plants, definitely the electrode plants are facing higher electricity prices. And definitely that provides some base for the electrode prices, because they cannot go below a certain point, otherwise it becomes unviable for European plants. But anyway, I can't be commenting on their costs really.
So, but in your discussions with the customers, are you seeing some kind of uptick in the overall pricing for our electrodes, or that really is not the case?
See, for the time being, the European, all these steel plants are pushing back their orders with us and with our competitors. So right now, it's not that situation about this pricing. The demand has to be there. Right now, there's pushback of electrodes. So, I mean, this pricing power will return later, but once the demand returns, right now, the price have stabilized at a point. They're not falling as such, but they have stopped increasing. That has been the impact of these pushback of orders and some inventories there in Europe, that the prices are not increasing, but they're not dropping either, because of, as you said, about the rise in energy costs, electricity costs, logistic costs. Everything is going up still. It's still at an elevated level.
Okay. So, alternatively, sir, how do you see the needle coke pricing? Given crude has started correcting, do we eventually see that in our overall needle coke prices as well?
See, the needle coke prices, thankfully, for the last 2 quarters, our purchase prices have been at almost the same level. One odd supplier or two tried to raise prices, but more or less you can say for these 2 quarters, our purchase price for April to June and July to September, for majority of our supplies, is remaining the same. So they're not increasing. That's a good part. Yes, it has some relationship with crude, but still is more driven by demand and supply rather than the crude oil prices.
But can we expect some relief going ahead?
I'm not sure, actually. You see, I'll want some relief from their account, but they know their economics. They know what is the crude oil price. They know how much demand for their needle coke is there. But right now, the supply of needle coke has eased. There is no shortage as such, and I would really expect if they could provide some breather. But as we are negotiating with them quarter by quarter, and I'm sure they are also seeing the markets. They are seeing the markets stabilizing, or plateauing for a while. So that's up to them. But so far, there's no indication. And so far, the prices have continued with the same prices for the last 2 quarters.
it safe to say that there can be some near-term challenges as far as the operating environment is concerned before things actually start cooling down in terms of the overall energy cost in Europe, and post which we can expect a good recovery?
See, that is exactly how I think. Let's see, we are talking in the middle of August. So, of course, I know very well what is going to happen in this quarter. The volumes are subdued. The price is stable for both electrodes as well as needle coke. But volumes, just because of these order pushbacks from some predominantly from Europe and some other customers, there'll be lesser volumes expected in July to September, and maybe the same, probably some of it to continue, same phenomena to continue for October to December, beyond which, at least in HEG, and I definitely expect things to turn around. I mean, the steel production has to turn around. We'll see how it behaves in the next one or two quarters. But I think in this quarter, in the middle of which we are already, and the next, which is very foreseeable, it seems the volumes will be subdued. See, right now, April to June, we were working at 92% capacity utilization. We could sell each and every ton we could make. We worked at record low inventory levels. Our closing inventory of 30th June was record low. I mean, it's not even workable inventory. So far, so good. But starting July, we started receiving, I think, the impact of Russia-Ukraine thing started to settle in, and customers calling us every now and then to push back their orders by 2 months, 3 months. So that will, and as you know, we book 3 months to 6 months maximum at a time. So that impact is being felt, that some volumes are spilling over from this quarter to next and from next to next. So it may have, our volumes are expected to be down in this quarter. Not drastically, but yeah, somewhat, as I said. I can't still put a number on it because I'm still hoping to make it up. I still have 1.5 months to run. Maybe we can make it up, maybe we cannot, but they might be subdued. With a stable price. The price, the same as April to June quarter, but lesser volume expected.
Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sonal Salgaonkar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
So thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, what has been the capacity utilization in this quarter versus same quarter last year?
Yeah, it was 92% for Q1 22-23 versus 85% year-on-year if you quarter. And if you just compare it with the last quarter, Jan to March, were 87%. So our volumes of Q1 have been the most in the last 10, 11, 12 quarters. We have sold the highest volumes in Q1. Highest capacity utilization of 92%. That's probably the best we can do. I mean, we cannot go beyond it. It's very difficult to reach the nameplate capacity. So 92% was our best ever capacity utilization, April to June quarter.
Understand, sir. And as of mid of August, currently, how much are we running at?
We continue to run at full blast, full level, because as I said, Sonal, we have record low level of inventory closing of 30th June. So we really don't mind. I mean, we want to run full till we can for a couple of months, even if sales are slightly lower. But because when the things turn around, these volumes will be required in the market. So we'll continue to go full blast for the next 3-4 months.
So we are planning at 90% capacity utilization, yes, even in the current quarter, right?
Yes, yes, absolutely. We are making product, the capacity will be utilized to 90% for sure. 90% you can imagine. Sales may not be as much, but 90% will be the plant's capacity utilization.
Understand. So in terms of our export, now we export 70%, close to 70% of our top line. So could you broadly elaborate what is the country-wise export mix and how much especially Europe is contributing in that?
Total about 35 countries, and it's very well diversified. The main areas other than excluding India, of course, we are talking about, let's say, US, and then followed by Middle East, followed by Europe, followed by Southeast Asia. And if you ask how much has our sales been in Europe, then I would say in 21-22, it was to the order of 10 or 11%, 11%.
Understand. Fair enough. So you talked about inventory position being at record low levels for yourself as of June ending, the quarter ending June. So how is it for the industry per se?
I think their inventory levels are higher than us. I think we have probably the lowest inventory level. But I also do not mean to say that they were significantly from.
Sorry, sir.
No, that's fine. So, but I think I cannot have a peek into their plants, but I'm reasonably confident that our inventory levels were the lowest or one of the lowest. But all the industry has been working full, but I think we have been able to sell more in April to June, resulting in low inventory levels closing February.
Understand. So you would say industry inventory levels are probably optimal or normal, and we are below normal.
I think so. Again, okay. this is my judgment. I cannot peek into our peer groups and make an estimate on what they must be carrying. But just by the market, what they have in the market and how they sell, I can have some idea.
Understand. So now my next question is regarding price hikes. You did mention that there were price hikes in this quarter. Could you give us the quantum or the delta of price hikes in this quarter, in the quarter that went by, Q1?
Yeah, understood, ma'am. You can consider 3.5 to 4% price, the difference between the Q1 of 23 and Q4 of 22.
Understand. And this quarter, largely up till now, it's been stable.
It's going to be stable. I can see that because 1.5 has already gone, and it's probably going to be stable. I mean, I'm talking about the overall global average.
Of course. Yeah. So cumulative over the past 4 to 5 quarters, how much do you think could be the price hikes? Because every quarter you have given the quantum of price hikes, and in the preceding quarters they were as high as 7 to 8% as well. So cumulative, do you think it is about 15 to 20% price hike over the past 4 quarters?
No, past 4 quarters is going to be much more. I mean, if you compare the price level which we have in April to June with what we had in the April of June of 21, it's going to be more than 50%, more than that. It depends upon the grade and markets, but anywhere, I mean, 50
yes, odd. Yes, that is correct. But it's more than 50%.
It's more than
50%. Yeah.
So. Understand. So also on the capex bit, you talked about commissioning, but what is the, I think your overall capex is 12 billion rupees. So how much of that is already spent and how much are you planning to spend in the remainder of the year?
See, 1200, against that 1200 number, almost 900 has already been spent and 300 would be spent by March 23.
Understand. So in your opening remarks, you talked about 15 to 16 million of, you know, EF capacities in Europe converting from BOF. So by
Sonal, from BOF to EF, not otherwise.
Yes, yes. So by when do we expect that to happen?
See, the projections which they have, because it's a big thing, a blast furnaces to electric arc furnaces. All these steel-making companies, I mean, we have heard public announcements of, let's say, the biggest steel company called ArcelorMittal. They have blast furnaces in Spain, Belgium, Germany, France. So what they're doing is these steel companies are, they have made some targets to cut their carbon emissions. And they want to be converting gradually, and the timelines would be what they have mentioned is starting 2025 to 2030. So there's the time frame for this 15, 16 million metric tons, which I said, and the 20 million metric tons, which I said about US, they would be up to 25 or 26. From now, starting this year, they'll start coming on stream by end of 2022 and going up to 2025 or 2026. So next 3 years, 4 years, we'll definitely see the arrival of this 20 million metric tons capacity on the ground. This is, we can see it happening. We know the companies who are making it. We know the plants who are coming up. And Europe is starting 24 or 25, and they want to do it by 2030.
Understand. So, and last question from my side. Sir, any update on the China electrode supply?
I mean, not really anything different. We can say what we have always said, that we do not compete with them in the ultra-high power grid market. They have lots of capacity. There is no doubt about it. Their own electric arc furnace portion is only 11 to 12%, which should go up to 20% soon, I mean, next 2-3 years. And these the excess capacity of electrodes which they have will certainly, some of it will get absorbed in the domestic market. They still continue to export a lot of electrodes to a lot of countries in the world. But we do not have any head-on-head competition with them in the ultra-high power grid segment. And in the non-ultra-high power grid, the small size, that's okay. We do face some competition, but we have several customers in several countries who still prefer to use our electrodes.
Right. So, sorry, just one more question, if I may squeeze in. In terms of Europe exposure, you mentioned that 11% of your sales emanate from Europe. So how much of your production emanates from Europe, if at all?
Our production? Yeah. I mean, I didn't get this. You asked how much we sell in Europe, I said 11%.
Yes. No, no. In the sense, do you have any manufacturing facilities or planning to do that in Europe?
No, Sonal, we do not have any manufacturing capacity other than this plant in India.
Sure. Thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Pranav Jain from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, do we foresee any problem in selling our incremental volumes of 20,000 tons, considering the situation in Europe, and how is the demand outlook going forward?
See, for the next two quarters, which I said, the July to September, in which we are, and October to December, it looks subdued. But this is not something which is going to last forever. See, even the common man today has started feeling the impact of climate change. The seriousness towards that is only growing every day. And the developed countries are becoming very, very serious about it. And serious about it to the extent that they actually started putting those electric arc furnace steel plants. This is one of the surest ways to reduce carbon emissions, putting up electric arc furnaces instead of blast furnaces. We have seen that happen in US, we are seeing it happen in Europe, and likewise this trend will continue. So this is something which is irreversible. With steel industry being one of the biggest polluters of the world, I mean, the trend is going to be toward electric arc furnaces. So the expansion, I would say it is a modest expansion of just 20,000 tons. And it's only a matter of time, maybe it takes a year or so, to get fully absorbed in the market. So it all depends how soon things turn around. The medium and long-term fundamentals of electric arc furnaces are unquestionable and robust, and they stay in place. The world is not going to go turn around and say, oh, let's pour blast furnaces. No, that's not going to happen. But yes, what you said is the demand outlook for these two quarters look difficult. Of course, they are all being precipitated by the Russia-Ukraine thing. The sooner it gets over and economies get back on track, steel production will grow as the economies grow, out of which electric arc furnace will grow faster.
Okay. So second question would be, how much would be the incremental depreciation in the quarter four of this financial year and Q1 of the next financial year, like after the additional capacity expansion?
Yeah, our CFO, Mr. Sapuja, will answer this question for you.
Yeah, we are coming at the capitalization of 1200 crore in the next financial year.
considering that 4 to 5% average depreciation on that, so that is going to come around 10 to 12 crore per quarter of additional depreciation in the next financial year.
Okay, so this would be the additional 10 to 12 crore additional depreciation, right? Apart from the current. Okay, okay. So just one more question to squeeze in. So the share of associate in this quarter was around 25 crores versus 1 crore in Q4 of the last financial year. So sir, what is the reason behind such a big jump?
Yeah, this is on account of that we are having a stake in Bhilwara Energy and they are into this hydro power. So out of 25.44, around 24 crore has come from only Bhilwara Energy. So they have shown a very good profit in the first quarter, Bhilwara Energy Limited, okay. Where we are having a stake of 49%.
Okay, so what is the outlook regarding these associates going forward? Like considering we haven't done... We haven't got so much of shares from these associates previously.
But if I talk about Bhilwara Energy, that the future looks bright and going forward that the profitability ratios and all this profitability remain would be on the robust side.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Rajesh Agarwal from Moneyore. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello? Hello?
Rajesh, please go ahead.
So how is the outlook in the US in terms of demand and supply?
Very good. Come on.
In terms of volumes and both pricing?
US is, I would say, more resilient, if I may. But yes, the US steel production is doing good. The capacity utilization of steel companies there are in excess of 80%, and it is 70% portion is through electric arc furnaces. Besides that, they are already putting new ones there, which will start coming on stream from the end of this year. So the outlook in U.S. Steel production as well as demand for electrodes is good.
Sir, what is our percentage of supply to U.S.?
Okay, if you want me to put a percentage on that, maybe it is going to be around 13% maybe.
Monthly?
13% maybe, roughly. I'm just giving you a rough number. See, we are very well diversified that way. As I said, I mentioned about US, Europe, Middle East, Southeast Asia. So we are serving almost 35 countries and we are not dependent on any one country, whichever it is. So our sales that way very well spread out globally.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question.
Since there are no further questions, I'd now like to hand over the conference back to Mr. Gulati for his closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, friends, for listening to us. I will just close this by saying that we are very optimistic or I would say upbeat about prospects of electric arc furnace industry, steel making. And we are a company which is making very good quality ultra high power grade electrodes as good as anybody in the world makes. And we are very cost competitive. Being a large plant on one roof, we are cost competitive also. And this year we are completing 50 years of company's existence. So we are very optimistic and about our company's prospects. So thank you very much and I look forward to talking to you again next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of SKP Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Yes.